Please pray with me. Almighty and ever-living God, the source and perfection of all virtues, please grant that I may employ myself in what is just and preach what is true, so that in my preaching and in my ministry I may provide for your faithful people the teaching that brings them grace. Amen. Amen. Nearly every morning, the reported news shows the world spiraling into chaos. In February, during a road rage incident in Palm Coast, Florida, a woman was beaten with a baseball bat and slam dunked to the ground. In May, around the world and across America, this month started with May Day protests turning into riots where police were set on fire in Paris, France. And protesters targeted police officers and journalists with rocks, bottles, Molotov cocktails, and pepper spray in Olympia, Washington. And two passengers on a Japanese airplane got into a fight, which ended with the arrest of an intoxicated American traveler. All of us know about many more instances of violence, injustice, and rage. As each word of this sermon is said, yet another violent act, another horror, or another injustice is committed. In such an out-of-control world, we have a lot to fear. And yet, as faithful Christians, we are told to not be fearful. Concerning this, Psalm 23, the Contemporary English Version, verses 4 and 5, remind us, I may walk through valleys as dark as death, but I won't be afraid. You are with me, and your shepherd's rod makes me feel safe. You treat me to a feast while my enemies watch. You honor me as your guest, and you will fill my cup until it overflows. We feel as though we have much to fear, maybe even more to fear than the apostles or the first century Christians. But we would be over-exaggerating. According to the experts, which I am not one, the Acts of the Apostles was written somewhere between 60 and 100 AD. This means the Christians we hear about were very aware of how dangerous it was to be a Christian. About those times, National Geographic summarizes, the Roman Empire could be a very dangerous place for early Christians, whose emerging doctrine flew in the face of established Roman religion. Christianity was punished by death during this era, yet pardon was available for those willing to renounce their religion by offering sacrifice to the Roman emperor or to the Roman gods. Honoring Rome's gods and goddesses was considered a civic obligation and at times a law, but many Christians refused to break with their faith. For that, they were often executed and then hailed as martyrs. Even though these early followers of the way of Jesus lived in fear of capital punishment, famine, plagues, thieves, and murderers, today's portion of the Acts of the Apostles tell us that they were devoted, they believed, and they spent much time together with glad and generous hearts and praising God. These people lived out what would be written in 1 John chapter 4, verses 16 to 19. God is love. Those who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. This is how love is made perfect in us, that we can be without fear on the day God judges us. Because in this world, we are like him. Where God's love is, there is no fear, because God's perfect love drives out fear. It is punishment that makes a person fear, so love is not made perfect in the person who fears. We love because God first loved us. We love because God first loved us. On Tuesday afternoon, I went for a run and saw a flag attached to a house proudly waving in the breeze and proclaiming, "It's always football season." The first thing that popped into my head was, well, at least deer get a break when hunting season ends. And then I thought, what if we as Christians were that enthusiastic about our faith and proclaim it's always Easter season? Obviously, the early followers of Jesus were that enthusiastic, and every day was Easter season for them. And they were even more enthusiastic than the most devout football fans, because I don't think there are many football fans willing to die or endure persecution for their team, but I may be wrong. These early believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of the bread and the prayers. And that's the first promise that we make after we proclaim our faith as it is stated in the Apostles' Creed during the renewal of our baptismal covenant with God. And that promise is what these people lived with God's grace and with God's help. For them, their devotion wasn't a once-a-week obligation, a Christmas or Easter thing, or even a whenever-I-feel-like-it thing to do. Their devotion to learning the apostles' teaching, to being in fellowship with each other, to eating a meal together, and to praying together was a common, and for many, a day-by-day occurrence, which they did with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having the goodwill of all people. They lived a way of life that led the Lord to add to their number those who are being saved every day. Returning from my clergy in Kairos week, a DJ said, "Have a margarita," because no great story ever started with someone eating a salad. And you know what? She was right, just not in the way she was thinking. The greatest story didn't begin with the salad or with the margarita. It began when Jesus took a loaf of bread, when he blessed it, when he broke it, gave it to his friends and said, "Take, eat. This is my body." It began when Jesus took a cup of wine, and after giving thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." Reversing the anger in the world can only begin to happen when we reverse the anger in our hearts, which can only happen when we devote ourselves every single day to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of the bread, and the prayers with glad and generous hearts that continually keep alive the greatest love story the world has ever known. To keep us on this path, I offer you this prayer by the Reverend Phillips Brooks. It is found on the back of Forward Day by Day. And by praying it and inwardly digesting it, our world will change. But even if our world doesn't change, your heart will change and will become filled with such gladness and generosity. Your life will bless the lives of everyone your heart touches, and they will know God loves them because he loved them first. Let us pray. O God, give me strength to live another day. Let me not turn coward before its difficulties or prove recreant to its duties. Let me not lose faith in other people. Keep me sweet and sound of heart in spite of ingratitude, treachery, or meanness. Preserve me from minding little stings or giving them. Help me to keep my heart clean and to live so honestly and fearlessly that no outward failure can dishearten me or take away the joy of conscious integrity. Open wide the eyes of my soul that I may see good in all things. Grant me this day some new vision of thy truth. inspire me with the spirit of joy and gladness, and make me the cup of strength to suffering souls. In the name of the strong deliverer, our only Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. We'll now have a moment of silence.